Welcome to the second week of our series called Against All Odds. Scripture says nothing will be impossible for God. If he has a dream for your life, something that he wants you to do, you cannot fail. Nothing can stop you. When he has something that he wants you to do for him, if you're believing for it and he wants it too, against all odds, he will bring it to pass. Now today I want to talk with you about God's gamble. A lot of people gamble. I was surprised to learn that more than 60% of Americans gambled just last year. And people will bet on practically anything, from casino games to online poker to fantasy football. Some wager on the strangest things, like things maybe you've never heard of. For example, cheese rolling, baby jumping, how many babies you can jump over. Very strange. Ferret bingo. Or my personal favorite, who the next pope will be. People actually put money on that. In my last parish, I was invited to one of the most interesting birthday parties ever. The birthday boy was a man named Jesse, and he was turning 103. For years, I had asked Jesse what his secret was for a long life. On that day, he showed me, because the birthday party was at the racetrack. In fact, that's where Jesse went every Sunday after the 11:30 a.m. Mass, to the racetrack to bet on the horses. He said it's what kept him young. The thrill of it made him young at heart. It was a great party, and at one point, Jesse did win one of the races, and a lot of money. He won a jackpot, and he handed me a crisp $100 bill. I said, "Happy birthday, Jesse," and pocketed the cash. It was a great afternoon. But as I hope we all know, gambling can ruin lives when it becomes an addiction or goes too far. My advice is to just stay away from it. It's not worth it. Everyone loses in the end. But the truth is that we all take chances. We place our bets in life by doing ordinary things, like starting a new business, taking a job in a different city, getting married, having a baby, stepping out of your comfort zone, doing something new, something you've never done before. Sometimes it doesn't go well, it goes wrong, it doesn't work out. So many things in life are a gamble. But did you know that God took the ultimate gamble on you? He placed his bets on you because you are the most important thing to God. There is nothing in this universe, more important to God than you. God took a bet on you, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way because things go wrong, things don't work out, the company you started failed, the job that you took isn't working out, you're struggling in it, wish you had never made that move, the marriage ended in divorce, you lost the baby. But don't let those defeats defeat you. Don't allow regrets to keep you down, because God is on your side. He's already working things out for your favor. Every setback is a victory in the making. Every loss, an opportunity for God to move you to a new level. Every lack, an occasion to send you abundance and good breaks. Every mistake, a chance to start over. To God, you are one in the million. He wagered everything to bring you into this world and to redeem you. The second reading today says that God saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, when you were baptized in that bath of rebirth, God took the biggest gamble ever. He put all his chips on the line because he believed in you. He washed away your sins, filled you with the Holy Spirit, made you a temple of his glory, and brought you into his family so that you could live a life of faith and righteousness for him. This is what Jesus did today, why we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. He was baptized not because he needed it, but because we needed it. We needed all these effects. And God took that gamble on you. Now, of course, God already knew that there would be certain points at which you would turn away from him, follow your own dreams instead of him, mishandle situations, seek your own advantage instead of doing the good things that God ordained for your life. So in a sense, it wasn't really a gamble for God, because to him, there are no surprises. God knows everything you're going to do. But from our perspective, it was a gamble. Everything, despite everything that could and inevitably would go wrong, God chose to place his bets on you. Because to him, there is nothing more important, nothing more valuable than your soul. The problem is, the enemy knows this too. And he is working overtime to make sure that God loses that bet. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the fourth grade classroom of our school. I couldn't wait to be with the kids. You know, they're always so fun and friendly. Usually, it's a joy to be with them and answer their questions. But can I give you a piece of advice? Never tangle intellectually with a fourth grader. They will eat you for breakfast. They are smarter than they look. And they will size you up and put you in your place in about 10 seconds flat, which is what happened to me, because on that morning, I felt like I had walked into a shark tank. They were bombarding me with complex theological questions, one right after the other. In rapid succession, I couldn't barely keep up. And I thought I was going to have this relaxing morning, you know, spending time with the kids, answering their questions about why I wanted to become a priest, what I eat for breakfast, what my favorite color is. But no, right out of the gate, a little girl raised her hand, wanted to know if the devil had a name. I was a little taken aback, but at least I knew the answer. I said, yes, the devil has a name. It's Lucifer. It means bearer of light. And I went on to tell her that Lucifer was once the most beautiful angel of all, but then he got mad at God and rebelled and now is the ugliest creature of all and wants all of us to be like him. I thought, I got an A on this question. I did pretty good, right? I was feeling pretty good, but just as I was starting to feel more sure of myself, this determined little boy raised his hand. Now he looked all sweet and innocent. I thought, here comes a softball, an easy question. And at first, it was. He said, does God know everything that's going to happen in the future? I was like, yes, easy one. I smiled confidently, said, yes, absolutely. God knows everything that's going to happen in the future. He knows everything you're going to do, everything I'm going to do, everything everyone is going to do. Score one for the priest, right? But little did I know, that little boy was setting me up. It was a setup. Because then came part two of the question. He put his hands on his hips. He said, well, Father Roger, if God knows everything that's going to happen in the future, he must have known that Lucifer would have rebelled and become evil. So why did he create him in the first place? Did it just get hot in here? Someone turn up the thermostat. I was sweating bullets, let me tell you. Couldn't think of a good answer. Was just kind of mumbling something out, something unintelligible. Looked for the nearest exit, said, sorry, kids. Time's up, I gotta go, no more questions. Not my finest moment. What I should have said was love. God created Lucifer and all of us out of love, even knowing that he and we would go astray, sometimes seriously astray. Those of you who are parents, I think, can probably begin to understand this, right? Because unless you were going through a period of temporary insanity, you must have known that that child, that beautiful little baby boy or girl on his or her first day of life, that one day that tiny innocent baby would learn the word no, throw temper tantrums, embarrass you at the mall, would eventually become a rebellious teenager, roll her eyes at practically everything you said, lock herself in her room for hours on end playing loud music, would one day grow up to be an adult, make some mistakes, get off course, forget about or fail to see the wisdom in everything you taught them. And yet, knowing all that, or should have been knowing all that, whatever the grammar is, knowing all that, you still chose to bring that child into the world out of love. That's what God does. I'll never forget my first class, my first day of class in systematic theology in the seminary. The professor started this way. He said, gentlemen, God has a problem. I thought, what kind of problem could God have? He's perfect, all-knowing, can do anything. Well, the professor went on to say, God created us out of love, and he wanted us to love him back. But the problem was, if he forced us to love him back, if he forced us to be good every day, to make all the right choices, to treat people the way we should, it wouldn't be love, because it wouldn't be a choice. So he gave us free will, knowing full well that we would misuse it, we would act selfishly, mishandle situations, and sometimes do horrible things to other people. It was a gamble, but God thought it was one worth taking because of his love for us. In the scripture, God says to each one of us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. For God, it was a chance worth taking to give us free will, so that, as the second reading goes on to say today, we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. See, that's the end game. That's the payoff, the jackpot, the bingo, is being with God forever in perfect love and communion and intimacy with God. It was a high price, a big risk to take, but the payoff was enormous. See, against all odds, God wants to save us. Think for a minute about what a long shot that would have been to accomplish. When they first heard about God's insane plan to have his own son become human, the eternal word, I knew that was coming, the eternal word of God take on human flesh, a third of the angels rebelled and they went with Lucifer. They were jealous of us and didn't think that we were worth saving. And war broke out in heaven. That was the price of God's gamble. And then much later, he would have to find a young woman willing to say yes to a seemingly impossible scheme of giving birth to the Son of the Most High God by the most unusual of methods. And then that little child would have to overcome, would have to survive against all odds, things like a high rate of infant mortality, growing up in a state of relative poverty, being hunted down by King Herod, becoming a refugee in a foreign land. Any of those things could have derailed God's plans. And then later he was tempted by the enemy himself and could have chosen not to die on the cross for us. Of course, God's sovereign will was in control of all of those events. But still, from our perspective, it was a gamble. And God went through all of that effort, because to him, you and your soul are of infinite, utmost value. I think of my own life, growing up with a professed atheist for a father. Every Sunday telling my mother, stop taking them to that church and filling their heads with fairy tales. And then later, myself becoming a rebellious teenager, turning away from faith, any kind of faith, and for more than 10 years, darkest time of my life. And somehow, God broke through all of that and woke me up, not only giving me faith, but bringing me into his church at a time when only 6% of the population in my area was Catholic, none of whom I had ever known. How exactly did that happen? And then much later, after 20 years after I politely declined God's invitation to the priesthood, he gave me a second chance. At a time in my life when I thought I was irretrievably broken and completely out of options. Against all odds, I stand before you today. God can do anything. Nothing will be impossible for him. Whatever missteps you've taken in life, wrong moves you've made, however much shame and guilt you carry around, whatever the impossible, overwhelming odds you're facing in your life, your health, your job, your family, God is right there with you, helping you to overcome those odds. The first reading today, he says, I have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. He's first and foremost talking about Jesus, the Messiah. But we're all little messiahs in a sense. We shouldn't have a Messiah complex, but we are little Christs. That's why we call ourselves Christians. We are little Christs. And so God says this to us today, what he said in the first reading. You are my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased. upon whom I have poured out my spirit. And he entrusts you to bring justice, bring forth justice into the world, to do good things, great things, and to accomplish the amazing purpose God has established for your life. God risked everything for you. The scripture says that you were bought with a price. Our part is to take that same gamble on God. He is depending on you and me to, whatever we're facing in life, to rise to the occasion, overcome the obstacles, and become all we were created to be. The size of the stakes in the game you have been dealt into are enormous. Everything is riding on it, especially your soul. So, will you roll the dice for God? Bet the farm for the Lord? Put it all on the line for the Almighty? In the gospel story today, Jesus comes out of the waters of baptism. He prays for a while. The heavens break open, and a voice booms out, "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And against all odds, he says the same thing about you.